I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Good morning, 720 WGN. It's Steve Cochran Show here on WGN. Justin Kaufman, Mary Sandberg, Dave Ennett, Mary Vanderbilt, Steve Grzanich, and of course Steve Cochran. With you till 10 o'clock. You can listen to us in WGN Radio or at WGNRadio.com. You can watch us. I don't think we're on CLTV because of the Jason Van Dyke trial.
I think you can catch a couple minutes of us today, really? And then the president will also be talking.
All
so.
Right. President speaking in front of the United Nations, General Counsel, is that what you say?
I think if people were watching CLTV yesterday, like your mother-in-law, they would have seen that you had an injury.
It's hilarious. It wasn't CLTV, it was a stream.
Oh, the stream, okay.
But yes, my wife told me that my mother-in-law was concerned about the bandage on my finger. Because I had cut my finger building a screen
That's
porch.
That's what I asked you about.
Well, yeah, right.
Your little owie on your finger.
I know, right? Well, I built a screen porch with my dad over the weekend. It was a very manly, very construction-y thing. And I was a Lou Manfredini up there. I was putting rafters up. We were building the whole thing.
Wow.
And right towards the end, we were cutting screen, you know, because we had to do the roof, the screen roof. And I had one of those X-Acto knives, and I cut my finger.
Ow.
Yeah. It's okay. It's all intact. And it's fine.
No stitches?
So, to keep you out of the game last night?
It did not keep me out of the game, Dave. Thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, did you win?
Of course. Yes, we did win. 16 in softball.
I don't think that kind of attitude is going to get you very far, young man.
I'm telling you, man. I'll talk about it all day. We beat the Chicago Reader in the Cup Media League to move on to the championship.
And they were last year's champion.
They were last year's champion. I think they're two-time champions.
How long does this season go?
I know. It's been a ton of rain delays. So there's if it rains at all at this park we play at, they have to call the game. Like if it rains on Saturday.
What do you mean?
Games
if you get drizzle?
Monday.
I don't think
it really
has
does.
Good drainage, right?
It doesn't have good drainage, yeah. And they're not the kind
well, neither
of...
Neither do I.
They're not the kind of park district that is super interested in keeping those fields looking good.
But you won. That's the important
we
thing.
We won in extra innings. We went to a typical 16-inch softball game is going to give you seven innings.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And yeah, I'm a big fan.
We went to the ninth.
And Justin got injured, so.
I did get injured a little bit. I was streaking, Vince Coleman style, a regular. I mean, who's the kid who they bring in as the pinch runner who just steals bases for
Gore,
the Cubs?
Terrence Gore.
Al Gore, isn't it? Al Gore?
Yeah, Al Gore.
A regular
Gore.
Terrence Gore on the base pass. But I turned third on a single up the middle to score a run, and I hit the bag, tripped, and skinned both knees.
So it was smooth then.
It was very smooth.
Anybody have video of that?
I don't think there's any video. I did get up and score, which was great. That shows what it really shows is my resiliency.
Well, there's like your new friend Bobby Bones acting like a freak last night after he danced and he wiped out and fell.
Oh, I
man.
Saw that.
There you go. I didn't see that.
So Justin is like Carrie Strug. Remember when she hurt her ankle in the Olympics and then still went
so
out?
So did you have like a big Russian that carried you off?
Yes.
Yeah. The coach came out with a big
I'd like
mustache.
You to do a high-pitched voice like Carrie. Wow.
So are you like on the DL now for the championship?
No. The blood was running down the leg. It was very dramatic.
Oh, a lower body injury.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
You,
I got
Q.
A week to get
LBI.
Week to get ready. Yeah, but it was it was awesome. There were some amazing plays in that game. I've seen some softball games in my time, but made a play deep on a line and threw it across the diamond and got a big out to secure the tie. It was pretty impressive.
Goosebumps.
It
just
really
your
was.
Description
back
of it.
To
it's
the championship.
Unbelievable.
Now, I have won two championships in this league. Mm-hmm. I took a 4-year break when I left WBEZ to come to GN. There's no GN team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was wooed out of retirement.
Because I wouldn't let one be formed. Somebody said it was going to happen. I go, not unless it's real softball.
We don't have one anymore?
Yeah, why would you veto that?
No, there's real softball. There's not 16-inch softball.
16-inch is real softball.
Okay.
George and the guys in Forest Park would tend to differ.
I've never seen you more interested in anything.
No, that's
in the time that I've known you. I've never seen you more passionate or more interested in anything.
As the rest of us are nodding off.
Yeah, right.
So if they win next week, recreational softball
doesn't get you going, Mayor.
I watch my son play, and he's on a men's league too, and it's pretty funny. And he's got a brace on his leg, and
there's no braces.
Yelling the other day, they're yelling at him, and they're going, "You shouldn't be running." And he's like, "I'm fine."
Oh, I love that parents are going to these.
I go to them. They're hilarious.
My adult children have not been injured playing sports yet, and I don't think that's going to be a danger with Amy. But in Ross's case, is it weird when your grown kid, Mary, gets hurt?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's had the ACL surgery. Now he's running with the brace. He's just like an old man out there. And then they have to have a pinch runner come in when he makes it to first.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. No good.
He's playing catcher. Sweet.
I know. That's an embarrassing moment for a
22-year-old, yeah.
Yeah.
A 22-year-old.
Exactly.
And you mock him. Mom, stop picking on me.
Oh, and he comes home. He's like, oh, everything hurts. I'm like, you are such a baby.
That's hilarious.
22.
He's 22. He takes the 44-year-old, comes out, goes, I'll run for you.
Oh, yeah.
Today, about 9:15 or so, President Trump will speak with the UN General Assembly, and we'll say things, and we'll play that, or we'll air that, because it's the president.
It's what Vic mentioned. It's 1 year ago that he did the Rocket Man speech.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's hard to believe. That's been
who will get the new the rose is the new Rocket Man today.
Who will get the new nickname today?
Yeah. He had like one midnight tweet last night. I wake up in the morning and I check, you know, Twitter for a number of things, including his Twitter feed. And like at midnight last night, he had to throw in. It's like he's tired. He's going, oh, I don't know if I have the energy. But he throws in one more tweet about how women aren't to be believed when men are accused of sexual assault. He's charming. It's 6:20. We'll come back to the top six in just a second, or what's left of it.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. To get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
All right, item number one. I don't know what's going on. The mic sounds distorted. Pardon me while I pull a Jonathan Brandmeier here. The microphone sounds distorted, but I can't turn my headphones on loud enough to hear myself. Can we get an engineer in here?
You sound better now, though.
Stat.
You sound
I think you sound great, Steve.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I'm still high pitched, but
jury's out on my decision. Okay. But I'll let you know.
Steve, don't listen to haters, man. I think you're great.
Thanks, appreciate it,
Steve. I can't hear you.
In a rare step for a Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh sat down for a televised interview with Fox's Martha McCallum last night and said, "I've never sexually assaulted anyone." Among other things, it's been widely reported that Kavanaugh said he was a virgin for his high school and college years. He did not say that. And,
oh, that's made up? Is that fake news?
It is a interpretation of Martha McCallum's follow-up. And since most people are lazy and they just read the headlines, it's an unfair headline to
present
Brett Kavanaugh. But Brett Kavanaugh did say that he did not have sexual intercourse, which always makes me uncomfortable when I hear the technical term.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have sexual
intercourse. You prefer sexual relations?
No, I prefer the dirty words. He did not have sexual intercourse while he was in high school or for many years after. And the follow-up from Martha McCallum was, just to be clear, you were a virgin in high school and college. Now, that's the defense. Here's my question. What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. She didn't say that happened, so
zero. If anything, he'd be more frustrated.
Also,
that's exactly what she said.
You don't have to have intercourse for a sexual assault to occur.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and as was described, he sounded like a horny nerd who couldn't get the girl's clothes off, thank God. If, in fact, it were him. And that's the other thing. The Democrats don't know that Kavanaugh did this any more than the Republicans know that the woman is lying. So here's a crazy idea. Have the hearing. Next. Speaking of the president, you know the Trump balloon that was flying over London? Baby Trump is coming to Chicago. Mm-hmm. The baby Trump balloon will float through Chicago for the March to the Polls rally. When is that? Do we know?
It's closer to the polls. Sometime in October, I believe.
I'll tell you the date. Hang on one second.
I thought you were going to say it was going to be in the Thanksgiving Day parade. That's
I bet somebody tries to get it into Macy's, don't you think, in New York?
Sure.
I'm just thinking at our new building here, we might have a good view of him. October 13th.
Okay, yeah. So a couple of weeks away. It's also National Voter Registration Day today, and the cast of Hamilton will be out in front of the CIBC Theater. promoting registration. It is hard not to be registered in Illinois between signing up for your driver's license and the million other ways. It's one thing we do really right. But if you are not registered, please, I implore you, get registered today. Spend 10 minutes researching. Listen to this show. We'll try to help you figure out what's important to you. And plan on voting. Put it down on the calendar now. Set aside the day. What is it? October 9th, right? Tuesday, October 9th, isn't that a, or, I mean,
November. 9th, yeah.
November 9th, isn't, is it November 9th? I might have the day wrong, so I want to make sure we get it right.
I think it's November 6th. Tuesday, 6th. November 6th.
Well, it's plenty upside down plenty 9. Tuesday, November 6th. So you have plenty of time to open up your calendar and make sure that you're prepared to do.
I'm not looking forward to the baby Trump balloon coming to Chicago. It's the same balloon that was in London during the protests. Like, what are we, just also rans now?
Well, they had it in New York, too.
They had it in New York, yeah. So it's like an art exhibit that's on its seventh. We're the seventh market for this thing.
Keep it
somewhere else. Make something local.
Just think of it as the Stones on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch the Smashing Pumpkins.
Next. Rod Rosenstein's job is in limbo. President Trump is in New York for the annual session of the U.N. General Assembly. Said he would meet with Rosenstein on Thursday with his deputy attorney general after much of Washington, including Rod himself, was convinced he'd be fired on Monday.
Yeah, right.
There was a story that broke right at the end of this show yesterday that he was being summoned to the White House. And I forgot to mention this as well. He wasn't going to get fired by Trump because Trump was in New York. So the idea would have been that he would have met with Kelly.
Well, I think first we were told he was going to resign.
He'd already verbally resigned.
And then they didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Axios reporter that wrote that apologized last evening on Twitter. Because he said he used the wrong words, had the wrong word choice.
Come on.
And he said it was unfortunate.
Verbally resigned, is there's other choices for that word, for those words?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to. Listen, take it from me. I've lost a lot of jobs. You can't verbally resign. You know, there has to be. You could be verbally fired, but the rest of it's very formal. So here's the deal. This may have been leaked by the White House, but if it was leaked by the White House, it's highly unlikely the New York Times fell for it, because the New York Times sources are always vetted sources, and vetted sources that if they, well, here's a technical term, screwed the New York Times. The New York Times would not be using them as sources anymore, and they like when sources like when they're sources.
Well, wasn't the big article generated by the New York Times about him possibly trying to wear wire? So he already has some relationship with the New York Times. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came from his camp, Rosenstein's camp.
Possible. I doubt it's from the White House.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But at any rate, President Trump on Thursday, if he does fire Rod Rosenstein, it's not a Saturday night massacre, it's a Thursday morning massacre, and we'll tell you who the new guy is later.
You would agree that if an article came out that said that I was coming into the meeting to, I was thinking about wearing a wire.
Oh, he's got every right to fire.
He's got
to
go. He's got
to
go.
He's got every right to fire him,
yeah,
however.
He walked right into it, right?
But he said he was sarcastic. It was a sarcastic thing, though.
Right, but now the unfortunate thing about the story is it's given Trump the grounds to do what he wanted to do anyway. Now, having said that, there are plenty of people who say this is not going to change the scope of the investigation because of a number of levers that have to be tripped.
Right.
But we'll talk more about that coming up next. So last night I go out and I just walk 4 or 5 holes playing golf with one club and 2 balls. It's my title of my new album, One Club and 2 Balls. And I got eaten alive by mosquitoes. Yeah. Anybody eat mosquitoes last night?
Last night, walking the dog about 6 o'clock, and my wife slaps me in the head, which she does often.
Right. There was not always outside.
No, but there was a mosquito on the back of my neck, and she saved me from the fate of the...
I was like an old country buffet. I mean, they were landing on me.
They're everywhere. They're spraying our town today in Villa Park. They are spraying for mosquitoes.
Oh, it's that bad?
Over. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow. I was on a raft with Injun Joe on the Mississippi.
Right.
We were trying to get out of town.
So just another Monday night?
Just another Monday night. But they were really... But we were on the deck, and we just got off the deck last night.
I still smell like...
Zeet?
Deet, yeah. From playing softball last night, we had 7 or 8 cans, and everyone's just spraying after every inning.
Have you seen Zeet?
Zeet?
Zeet's like the plain label version of Deet that costs you like a quarter.
Okay, that seems
like probably
something
what it was.
You don't want to really scrimp on it.
No.
There
no.
was a story
Spend
from
the $3.
A story from Wisconsin over the weekend about a man who was wanted for a robbery that was in a standoff with police, and the standoff was outside. He surrendered because the mosquito bites were so bad.
Oof.
He gave up.
He just said, come put me in jail. Right. No, he, I can't take the mosquitoes.
No, they went to arrest him, and I guess he was outdoors, and he just couldn't take it anymore.
One of our players on the softball team said last week she counted 27 mosquito bites after the game.
It's crazy.
Do you remember the commercial where the guy for off or whatever used to
puts it in the
dip his arm into the vat of mosquitoes?
Yeah. Glass box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't
think so. See that anymore.
No.
Anyway, Chicago meat and mosquitoes allegedly having their last stand. David Zazara, spokesman for the North Shore Mosquito Abatement District. By the way, chicks dig guys that kill mosquitoes. Says there's been an end of summer surge in nuisance mosquitoes. It's bad. We had a really nice string of great days and people are outside enjoying the weather. These are opportunistic mosquitoes. They will bite any time of the day.
I live right by that mosquito abatement thing, and there is never a vehicle in that parking lot. I thought it was fake. I didn't think anyone.
Well, they thought it was working. A front
they're
for government.
Working. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, they're right. Working. They're out. They're not a sitting in
all
office
times
type
of day.
Guys.
Nobody's ever in that parking lot.
It's a 24-hour day job. 24/7.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cut these guys some slack. They're doing work.
And then there's this. Kanye and St. West threw out the first pitch on, what was it, Sunday?
Sunday.
And total shock to the Sox fans. Was not announced ahead of time. And earlier in the day, Kanye pulled a Justin Kaufman and said, "Can my son do it?" And
well, it was a shock to the Sox as
true.
Well that they didn't know till that morning. Kanye's people contacted the White Sox books boyer said, "You know, we already had people, but they let him do it." So
what you're telling me is in the celebrity ranking list, Kanye is more impressive than I am because the White Sox don't return my phone calls.
Yeah, well, they returned his and they let him. Okay.
Well, I'm just sick and tired of Kanye West stealing my bit.
Yeah, it's
come on. I brought Miles. I had Miles do the game ball stuff.
And do you think it said St. West from WGN Radio on the scoreboard?
That, right? It might have.
That's your top six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
If you listen with any regularity, you know the drill. We like to celebrate kids doing great things. Have done this for years and years and years and years. And here's what you need to do. Just let us know what kids in your life, in your world, are doing great things. Number to call is not important because the website is WGNradio.com. Almost covered it.
The future.
WGNradio.com. Just search Kid of the Week and send your nomination in at that point. Let's get Luke on here, today's Kid of the Week. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Steve.
Luke Alfonso. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you go to St. Alphonsus?
No, he goes to Bennett High School.
Oh, okay.
It's been a year since my computer teacher, Mrs. Yakes, sent in my nomination.
Oh, that's right. You're a two-time nominee.
No. She nominated
him last year. He didn't get it.
Yes.
So this year he did.
He got selected.
Two-time nominee. Gloria Yakes.
No. Yep, that's the name of my computer teacher. She nominated me in eighth grade, and it's been a year. I'm a freshman at Bennett Academy High School in Lyle.
It's a great school.
It's an amazing school. I'm so happy to be there.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it. You're a writer, and you have powers of observation like none others, and you wrote a very nice tribute to the awardee, or your part of your job is to the awardee, each time the Celtic Spirit Award is given to a student. What's that award for?
If that was the my job in the student council at St. Alphonsus St. Patrick School was to present the Spirit Award, and it's an award that we give to recognize individuals at the school, students, teachers, entire classes, to recognize things that they do of service to the school, to honor their commitment, their participation. It's a wonderful thing, and I was both humbled and honored to be given the opportunity to present them with the award.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you can have it as a task that you have to do, but it sounds like you really celebrate the accomplishment of others, and that's very mature.
I enjoyed it very much.
Well, that's great. Say hi to Justin.
Luke, hi. You know, you were obviously big at in grade school at the student council. Do you see yourself getting into politics? Do you like the idea of government? And do you see you doing that at Bennett?
You're thinking President Alfonso?
I'm just interested, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not entirely sure about politics, but I do love history. History is one of my greatest passions. I love studying the past because the better we understand the past, the better we understand the future.
Very true. Oh, wow. And very nice.
And he's not into politics. Listen to that answer.
Do you have a favorite historical era?
I would have to say my favorite historical era probably the time that the Civil War was going on.
Not sure.
Mostly because one of my favorite historical idols is from that time, Abraham Lincoln.
There you go. Yeah, we've heard of him.
Have you been to the Lincoln Library down in Springfield?
Yes, I went there on a field trip with my 8th grade class. It was incredible.
It's an amazing
place.
That's
a great place.
Sandberg, say hi.
Luke, so speaking of history, let's go back as far as yesterday. We understand it was your birthday.
Yes.
So happy 15th
happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
yeah.
Thank you.
Are
you
getting
gonna,
old, dude.
Yeah, are you going to be doing driver's ed?
Next summer, I believe. Very soon.
Very soon. That's very fun. Fun for your parents.
But I think, isn't this still the age where kids don't want to get their license necessarily? Not that they don't want to, but they don't have the urgency that...
I don't know. Luke, are you interested in driving?
I can wait a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah, be getting chauffeured around. Your mom and dad are your own Uber. You don't need a license.
And Luke, when I talked to your mom yesterday, I think she mentioned maybe you're doing a marching band?
Oh, yes. I love marching band. I play the trumpet in marching band. I joined the marching band at Bennett, and we've had two competitions and played multiple home games, and they've all been, it's been so amazing. Marching band is an opportunity to make new friends, to become better musician, better marcher. It's one of the most fun and amazing things I've ever been a part of.
Very nice.
I love it.
Luke, so there's competitions for marching band, and like you said, there's performances.
Yeah, by the way, Bennett is a very competitive school on all levels.
So the one area of I always have questions for the marching band is the parade. Do you like doing the parades? I mean, I don't know if you had a chance yet because of the time of the year, but that concept of getting there and cheering fans and everything that's happening as you're actually marching, have you done parades? Do you look forward to them?
Bennett has done one parade in downtown Lyle, Labor Day Parade, and it was one of the most fun things I've ever did. So it was hot in those uniforms, but it was worth because they look amazing.
Because, you know, prior to being in marching band, when you've learned to play trumpet, you weren't really moving around, right? You're just standing there playing the trumpet. And then doing the marching band, you're like, your physical ability is really tested.
Playing the trumpet, cleaning the spit valve. Right. Playing the trumpet, cleaning the spit valve.
And you got to walk around and they do formations and things, right? You have to, like, kind of know dance almost.
Spell
you know?
Out words.
Yep, it's a massive step up from playing trumpet in grammar school, but it's an amazing opportunity. It's in just a few months, it's helped me become a much better musician.
Luke, what's the go-to song on the parade route? What's the one you're most excited to play?
Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it.
Hooked on a Feeling, actually.
Oh, there you go. That's
I
good.
Love that song.
You seem like a great guy, Luke. There's no secret part of your life that's going to disappoint us, is there?
Well,
you don't have to tell us now. I'll talk to your attorney. And I don't think you ever really got to the bottom of what you're going to do after college. Do you have an idea what you want to do with your life? You're going to teach history, maybe?
Yes, and I also would like to be an author if I ever do become a historian, an author as well, because I just love to write.
Yeah, I think we should hook Luke up with John Williams. You know, he does the president's.
Yeah, right.
Looks a little like John Williams.
Maybe this weekend there's one of those. Yeah. So
John Williams is a really old guy that does a talk show here between 1 and 3, Luke. So but you're Luke, in school he, then, but you could hear him on podcast.
John Williams does a talk show 1 to 3.
Oh, look at
he's my living idol.
No way.
Well, we're not talking about
John, feel
about
John that, Williams, Steve. The musical composer piece of music.
Yeah, no, buddy. This is John Williams, the talk show host.
Nope, that's him.
That's
a different guy. For a minute there, I was about to hang up on you because John Williams was your idol.
It doesn't matter. John's going to pull that clip.
Yeah, oh, of course he is.
Run with it.
Of course he is. Hey, dude, you're a good guy. We have Lou Malnati's Pizza and an app gift card for you. Hold on, okay? I'll take that as a yes.
Thanks, Luke. All right.
Yeah,
thank you, Luke.
Great.
All right. We've already talked about what's coming up at 7.
Do you have anything in your life that, what was the question that you gave him, Steve? Do you have anything
that you're going to be disappointed?
That we're going to be disappointed.
You got
15-year-olds like, oh.
He got very quiet. Mary Vandeveld will tell you if there's any dancers worth watching on Dances with the Stars in a second. Plus, do you live in one of the happiest, fun cities in America? I'll tell you that in a second, too, because you love the lists. First, we're back with more in a second. It's 6:54, and this is 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hooked on a feeling. Badfinger?
The new generation just knows it as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Who did this song? This is even before I was a disc jockey.
We got to find some of these tapes.
Blue Swede. That's right.
I need some air checks of Cochran. Here's Blue Swede.
And you know all the marching bands.
I thought it was Badfinger. That's good.
Do they all play that?
Yes, because they go Ooga Chaka Ooga.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah,
it's good times.
They add that to it.
How do I know? I wasn't in the band. I was too busy with my own bands.
You were a disc jockey.
So, Mary, what did you think of Dancing with the Stars? Did I hear this right? There was a blind woman dancing?
Yes. Oh, she was Danelle Umstead is her name. She's blind. She's a Paralympian, and she's won, like, bronze medals and everything. And
skier, right?
Skier, yes. And downhill. Downhill, blind.
Wow. Goes 70 miles an hour downhill blind.
And she has to go through, you know, the poles and go back and forth. But anyway, she was super good, and she walked up and down stairs, too, during the
dance. In heels.
And she did a lot better than most of the people that can see.
It's hard to walk up and down stairs in heels when you can see.
Yes, because you have to look down to make sure you don't miss. Right.
Who is the best?
I would go with whoever she is, Tanashi. She's a singer from Zimbabwe.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah, and she's also, what else? Mary, have you ever heard of her? She's...
I only know her since being announced on the...
Yeah, she had some...
They've run out of celebrities.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they're out. They're just out.
This is.
She knew a Jenner, whatever. Anyway,
I know Don Wells was busy.
Yeah,
exactly. Don Wells was busy. She's pretty good. DeMarcus is good. You know, he's a football player, so they're always going to be good.
All right, let's have some fun. Who is really bad?
Really bad? Oh, grocery store Joe.
Oh, was he bad?
He forgot the routine, and he just couldn't recover, and after it was over, he just goes... I'm so glad that's over. But he, you know what? He's not going to get voted off because everyone loves him, and he had a huge cheering section. You know, I'm sorry to say, it's the comedian.
Mm. Oh, he was really bad? Because here's the thing.
No, Nikki Glaser.
She was bad?
Yes. Yes.
She's funny.
She's very funny.
She's funny.
She's beautiful. She's funny.
But she can't dance.
She can't dance. So because a lot of people don't know her, I think she'll probably be the first to go.
Here's why I'm worried about Bobby Bones, the comedian, because radio guy, because whenever radio guys have a national platform and you screw it up, you make it tough for everybody else. So I want Bobby Bones to do well. So that someday,
to represent radio well.
Yeah, to represent radio well, so he's not just another chucklehead.
Well, last night he looked like a lunatic. He was nuts. He just started jumping around after it was over, and he was, you saw him, he was all over the place.
This is so weird. I actually heard him on the radio talk about that this morning.
Oh, really?
What are the odds? He just talked about how much fun he had, and everybody thought he was an idiot.
Exactly. Well, that sort of describes our careers.
His poor partner, Sharn.
That's radio.
Sharn almost got tackled. I was like, watch out.
You have to believe that because all the dancers are trained well to smile nonstop, you have to believe as they're walking upstairs, she whispered in his ear, don't ever be a jackass in front of me again.
Or, gee, I hope we get voted off tomorrow. So
all right, so we'll see where this goes. Dancing with the Stars with the lamest celebrity cast they've had ever. I don't know that they can beat this one. And since I promised you this, the list of from Wallet Hub of the most fun cities in America is out. Chicago, number 6.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Top 10, San Diego 10, New Orleans 9, San Francisco 8, Portland 7, Chicago 6. Top 5, Miami, Atlanta, New York City, Orlando, and Las Vegas.
Orlando. Ooh. Orlando's the fun cities?
Are you familiar with theme Disney parks? World?
Yeah. Is that what that's...
There's 50-some-odd criteria, including the fact that there's stuff to do all the time.
I would think if there's a Disney World in town, that would bring it lower. Like, I would just think that's not... Because that's the thing to do.
I guess if I got kids
and
you
family...
You are so turning into a grumpy old man.
It's like we got Kevin Powell sitting in here.
No way.
Amazon and the theme parks are killing America.
I'm saying a theme park would not be what I would make a city, would not make a city fun to me.
Well, you know,
Miami, I get. Atlanta, I get. Okay, Chicago, I get. But
West
Orlando.
Dundee is pretty high because of Santa's Village, if that's any indication.
Right. Where's West Dundee on that list?
Yeah, no question. We'll be back with Grumpy Justin and the rest of us.
Great convention center in Orlando. Let's make it number 3.
Standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is Steve Grzanich on WGN Radio.
On the home of the Blackhawks, Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox.
Tiger
baseball.
In a route. Write it down.
I know, I didn't write it down last time.
Write it down.
Tiger in a route.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, got it.
The comeback is complete. Tiger Woods, your 2018 Tour champion.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I've been mocked on this show for my terrible predictions for years. Friday morning, I said Tiger in a route. At one point Sunday, he's up by 5. He wins by 2. I think it's time to get some props here.
You gave it to me yesterday, right?
Yeah, we gave you props. And we're still going to ridicule your future predictions.
And we don't mock you about your... we mock you for so many other things, Steve. It's not for the predictions. I mean, we love you from the predictions.
We have not done any fantasy football on the show this year so far.
Oh, we got to do that.
By the way, Sandberg's worst nightmare. We're going to start.
Well, we have a sponsor.
Doodle?
It's no.
too late now.
No, we're not doing Wang Dang Doodle because there's a sponsor involved, and we're going to do it on their website.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be really cool and fun, and listeners can win money.
Will this sponsor be joining us before the season's over?
I will discuss it with Kevin McDonough after the show.
Right, I was just going to say, I mean, you do it the way that now you can do fantasy football in a way you do it each week. You don't need to, like...
That's what this is going to be.
Yeah, perfect. And we can start whenever.
Who won last year? Do we remember?
I think you did.
I did?
No.
I did.
It was 2 years ago.
Oh, I did win sometime. Where's my trophy? And then Andrea stole my trophy. And
she didn't steal it. I forgot to get you a new one.
Still has it. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to get you a new one.
Wow. Bad blood over trophies.
Man.
My friend Kurt Byram from the Golf Channel and NBC Sports is standing by in Paris. Now, you may be thinking Kurt's on a romantic vacation alone in Paris, but no. He's there working because the Ryder Cup takes off this week. The boys are in town, and it should be doubly exciting now that Tiger is officially back after a win. Good morning, Mr. Byram.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great. Your thoughts on Paris, where it's what, noon?
It's about 2:15 in the afternoon area right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's the first time it's been held in France, so that's a change-up. I think the golf course lends itself to the Europeans a little bit because this is where they play the French Open every year at Lake Golf National. So we'll obviously have the inside track there.
The Europeans, because they're the host, they get to pick the golf course that's most favorable to them. But Tiger's coming in hotter than anybody. Phil's coming in colder than anybody. What's that going to turn out to be?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. Phil's definitely struggling a little bit right now, but you know, and I think that because of the Ryder Cup, I think he'll elevate his game. You know, this is his favorite event that he plays ever. This is the 12th time he's going to play in the Ryder Cup. So
how about that?
He usually elevates his game, and then he'll put together, I'm sure. But no guarantees. You know, the Europeans are going to be really tough. We haven't the Americans haven't won in 25 years over here. So it's been a long drought. So he's going to need to elevate his game.
The top three guys on the European team are who?
I mean, it's, you know, it's discussable, I guess.
Right.
They've got a lot of guys playing well coming in. Tommy Fleetwood's had a great year. I think it's going to be really interesting. It's I don't know if anybody really stands out except for maybe Rory McIlroy. McIlroy's been really good in past Ryder Cups. He's obviously playing pretty well coming in here, even though he didn't have his greatest year on the PGA Tour this year. But I think he's playing pretty well right now. So I would have to pick that McIlroy. Of course, you've got Poulter, you know, who's, you know, that his best play in his career has come during Ryder Cup play.
What about Justin Rose?
Five rookies on the European team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle all of this.
Yeah, Kurt, I was going to ask you about that because I've heard a lot of buzz about Fleetwood and John Rahm, and there's a half dozen rookies. What sorts of pressure do these guys face, as accomplished as they may be at this point on the tour, when they play in the Ryder Cup for the first time?
Yeah, there's going to be tremendous pressure. I mean, and it's, you know, sometimes in the past you see guys that sort of crumble under it and they don't play well. But then you go back to Hazeltine 2 years ago, Thomas Peters, young guy from Belgium, he came in there as a rookie and, 24 years old or 23 years old at the time and went 4-1. So you just don't know how a guy's going to react and where his game happens to be that week. You know, they're just 3 days, Friday through Sunday, and that's when your game has to be really ready for it. But the fact that they have five rookies, it's going to be worth noting and watching for to see how those guys handle this Ryder Cup pressure.
On the American side, Bryson DeChambeau, won the first two playoff events and then sort of faded. Tony Finau, great young player, this kind of pressure is different, as you said. Patrick Reed has had a weird year since he won the Masters. And Bubba Watson's pretty cold. I mean, a lot of these guys really have to step up and turn it around here.
Yeah, they do. I mean, there's a lot of talk about how loaded the American team is, and they are. I mean, they've got guys that are, you know, top players, and they've been playing well. So it's going to be really interesting. I do think, and you mentioned it when we came on here, that, you know, Tiger winning for the 80th time and all the players, you know, that were there last week, it's going to be, I think, a bit of a boost for the Americans coming in here. And obviously Tiger's pretty much at the top of his game right now. So they're going to have to play well, though. As loaded as the American team is, they're going to have to play well. But I think that, you know, a few years ago when they had the blow up at Glen Eagles in Scotland in 2014, and Mickelson, you know, had problems with the way that, you know, the team was handled and everything, and they kind of put that whole task force together. And the American team seems to have a real plan now on how they're going to go about, you know, how they're going to handle the players, how they're going to pair them together, you know, those kind of things, personalities. So I think they've got a real plan in place now, but and then it'll be really fun to see how that works out over here. Who he pairs, who Furyk eventually pairs the Americans up with each other, and how he decided to do that. And it's really cool stuff. It's awesome. It's the greatest event, I think, that I've had a chance to do as far as TV. It's just the energy and the emotion that's involved in this event. It's just really fun to be part of.
I think there's 29 points total on the board, right? And the rule still exists, right? If there's a 14.5 tie, the host nation keeps the cup, or does it go to the guys that had it last?
Yeah, it goes to the Americans if there's a tie.
Yeah, because we had
it
last.
The team that won last, yeah. Yep.
All right, and since we got 29 points on the board, Dave, what's your prediction? Dave Ennett, sports director extraordinaire, Chicago sports voice, a legend in prognosticating, if not sports as well. I can't stall anymore. What's your prediction?
I say the U.S. keeps the cup.
You got a score? Big win? Blowout? Close.
I think close.
Sandberg, you're a golf nut. You agree?
I think Team Europe's going to win. I don't want that to be the case. But
blowout? Close?
No, I think it's going to be like by 2 points.
I think Kurt's super close, and I like the Americans on Sunday in the singles late in the day. I think one of those last two, three matches are going to decide it.
I am going to go with the Americans this time around, and I think it's going to be really close. Where last time at Hazeltine, the Americans came out and swept that first morning session 4-0 on Friday morning. So they got off to a great start. They need a really good start like that again this year. Over here in France, but I think when it comes down to the singles, if it's really close, then you got to give the Americans the edge. They've traditionally been better in the singles and on Sunday,
right?
And a lot of them are playing really well right now. So if it is close, it'd be great if it came down to the last match, and it'd be great very if cool. Tiger Woods was that anchor man. It'd be boy, that'd
very
be
cool. How would that? How about Tiger versus Rory in the last match of the
that'd
day?
Be great.
Last word, Sandberg.
You shouldn't script it any better.
The junior American Junior Ryder Cup is going to retain the cup, though. The juniors, the United States, they got 12 points. So
nice.
Yep.
Well, it's good to hear. All right, coverage wise for you guys, Golf Channel and NBC. NBC takes over, I think, Friday afternoon, right?
Yeah, we do Golf Channel in the morning, NBC in the afternoons. I think locally, I want to say the first match is 8 a.m. Paris time. So middle of the night for you guys. You got
not for us. When we're getting up.
Early.
Yeah, get up a little early and turn the golf on. That's it. All right, Kurt, thank you, buddy.
Please do. All right, good talking to you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Kurt. Kurt Byram live from Paris on the Ryder Cup.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pete Zimmerman does a nice job finding our most valuable person on the planet. It's not somebody that necessarily is the big, bold headline in the news of the day, but it's somebody that's got a cool story, and today is certainly no exception, as Jenny Spinner joins us now. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
So, Jenny, you're minding your own business. You're not hurting anybody. You're in the Jewel in Andersonville. What did you find?
I look over to the Lagunitas 12 packs, and stacked on top was what I thought was some swag. I thought it was like free Bears calendars or maybe some mouse pads. And I look over, and it is a really old, really well cared for photo album that reads "My Bar Mitzvah" on the front.
Oh, wow! And at that point, could you tell how old it was, or you knew it was just decades?
It looked really old. It looked 50s, 60s, and sure enough, flipping through it, there's a picture of the proud father and the bar mitzvah boy standing in front of a sign that reads Shoreland, February 20th, 1955.
So this is something this is something that obviously has great, great sentimental value to somebody.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I'm not Jewish, but I know how important a bar mitzvah is.
Sure.
And this is a really nice photo album. The pages were mounted. There was a piece of paper in between each page to keep them from sticking together. So it was really well cared for, and somebody was missing it.
Jenny, you know, I would have tried to get the most value out of it, but you, as a good Samaritan,
did the right thing.
The right thing, and tried to track.
Well, wait, you know, hold it hostage? A bar mitzvah photo?
I would
hostage?
Have been right over there. I would have been in Edgewater at one of those malls. Been like, how much for this? $5, $10, $15, great, awesome. And I just got myself some Wendy's.
Well, check this out, Jenny. By the way, Jenny, what do you do for a living?
I'm a freelance writer, but I have a couple of side gigs. And actually, one of the things I was doing was my side gig. Handing out samples of booze.
All right, so
just a couple feet away.
So
yeah.
Here's your side hustle number four, Private Eye. I love the way you broke this down. One photo had a letterboard that said Shoreland Hotel, 1955. Another, the name William appears to be frosted onto a cake in one photo, so you got to be looking at the pictures. And then a band called Don Fernando can be seen playing in a picture. You used all those clues to track down the owner, right?
I did, and I can't take total credit. I did post an item on Facebook and said, please help. Black Club Chicago wrote an article saying, hey, do you know anything? But the pipeline that carried the name back to me was my wife is super deep into genealogy, and Jewish genealogy groups make stuff happen. If you have a question, it will go across the ocean.
Yeah.
Find somebody's cousin in Israel and it bounced back to New York City, which is what happened here. Somebody in Israel found out. Yeah.
So the owner is who?
The owner is a very nice woman who lives in Andersonville, not too terribly far away, named Gail London. And the bar mitzvah boy is a lovely gentleman named Bill London.
And why was it in the jewel? What, do we know that part of the story?
We do not. I will let your friend Pete know as soon as I know. But the mystery is almost all solved. we don't know. The one I want to know is how it got on top of a bunch of craft beer. Right. Yeah, right.
Okay, can I make up the ending of this? Bill was having a huge party to celebrate the anniversary of his bar mitzvah, 65th anniversary of his bar mitzvah, and he was picking up some Lagunitas, and he wanted to show somebody a couple of pictures. Because he was super proud of it, and he left the photo album on top of the booze.
He needed 2 12-packs, so he needed both hands. So he's like, I'll just put my album I take everywhere.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. Yeah. He has a grandson that's getting bar mitzvahed, and he was like, you guys in your crazy ways now, this is how it used to be done, and showed him that thing, and the kid carried it around and got tired of carrying it and threw it on top of the baby.
Right. Yeah.
What about it's a scavenger hunt? It's a scavenger hunt, and he's hiding photo albums all over the city.
Or maybe you were meant to find it.
Listen, Jenny, you're a good person for doing this, and you're the most valuable person on the planet. Thank you for doing that, and we have some prizes for you off the air, including Lou Malnati's pizza and an app gift card and other stuff, too.
There you go.
Oh, that's great.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Jenny. Bye, Jenny.
Back with the headlines in just a moment on 720.
Jenny. I know Jenny. She's a freelance writer in Chicago.
You know her?
Yeah, I know her. Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't see your Facebook post where she did this. But
she was sort of acting like she didn't know you.
She gave a vibe like she was formally, hello, Justin. No.
What was that about?
I want to say she's a Packer fan, too, but I could be wrong on that. Hmm. So.
More just met her friend Pete. I don't know.
Watch this. More to come. No, not actually. Headlines next in 720 WGN. All right, we just lost our second contestant. So, 312-981-7200. Would you like to join Bill and compete for big prizes in Match Game? Not like the Match Game with Alec Baldwin or Gene Rayburn. No, the different Match Game. Where one with John DeCoste.
The new Match Game, there is a urine joke every episode.
It's really weird.
It's edgy.
It's funny you mention that.
So
it's
what you
funny
got, John?
You bring this up.
John, while we set up our second caller here, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Do I have anything I like to plug?
What are you doing later today?
Oh, today?
Oh, nice.
Oh, this is kind of cool.
I mean, just like this afternoon.
I'm going to take an architectural boat tour.
In the rain.
Oh, very nice. You know, in the rain, it's easier to get these. They're not as crowded.
Right.
Yeah. A rainy day in almost in October, perfect time to take the boat tour.
That's what we thought, and we're hoping, we're keeping our fingers crossed that there's mosquitoes.
Sideways wind.
Are you going to do the poncho? The poncho look?
Right.
Niagara Falls poncho.
It's going to be a good look.
That's good.
Bill and Brandon are here. John, are you ready to play?
I am ready. If they're ready, I'm ready.
Let's go to Bill and let's play Match Game for fabulous prizes. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're excited to have you on the show, Bill.
Where are you from, Bill, with how y'all doing?
I am actually from Cincinnati, but I live in Portage, Indiana right now.
Oh,
Portage.
Very good. Very good. I love
the southern
Cincinnati.
Part of Portage.
Yes. Grater's ice cream, one of my favorites.
Oh, my wife's favorite.
Look
at
you. Maybe you two could catch up later.
Sorry.
What's your question so the celebrities can answer it?
There's a theme to both of these questions, and we'll get... So here we go. You ready, Bill?
Yes, sir.
And hang on to your answer until I ask for it. Steve Cochran hates 16-inch softball because the ball is so big. He wants to start his own softball league in Chicago. But in this game, they will play with a blank.
Oh, sure.
Right?
I got this.
Don't give me your answer, Bill. Hang on.
This?
Steve
Cochran
hates 16-inch softball because he thinks the softball's too big.
Right.
He wants to start his own softball league in Chicago, but in this game, they play it with a blank.
I'm done.
Everybody in? Everybody in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I changed mine. I got
this is a little easy.
Let's start with Dave Ennett this time.
I said a turkey.
Wait a minute.
We got to hear don't we need the answer?
I know.
The listener. Come on, people.
Well, John, you're the MC.
No, Dave,
you're the host.
I apologize.
Bill, what's your answer? And keep in mind, if you say turkey, you're going to get at least one.
Yeah, I guess if he said turkey, I'm going to go with turkey.
Oh, ding, 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 for you.
What were you going to say? Bill, what were you going to say before
turkey? I was going to say golf ball, because I think Steve likes to play golf, doesn't he? Yeah.
You may want to go with
good
that.
Move. Oh. Good move. Yeah. Good move.
Yeah. But okay, but if you're going to stick with turkey, that's one. What else?
Okay, here we go. Yes. Justin.
All right, I said he'd like to play with a golf cart.
Golf cart.
Ooh. Like how we played football with golf with a golf cart.
That's very good. Mary Sandberg.
It's a terrible
answer. I said he wants to play with a mitten.
A mitten.
Oh, a mitten.
A mitten.
Like a mitten.
A mitten.
What?
You always complain that Justin Softball doesn't have a glove.
Right.
But you want to play with a mitten.
No, it's actually...
Don't encourage.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Isn't this supposed to be with some sort of ball?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Golf ball.
Golf ball.
Hello?
Golf ball.
Very good. Golf ball. Two golf balls.
Is really what you got? Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that would have been two.
Where did turkey come from?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter, Mary. I'm the only one who matched, okay?
That's true. All right, Bill, hold on, buddy. Hold on, man. Let's go over here to Brandon. Brandon, I feel like we need to cheat and give Brandon one.
Are you going to give him a mulligan or something?
Yeah. Brandon gets one to start.
Good morning, guys.
All right, what's Brandon's question?
Okay. Brandon.
Here you go. Justin Kaufman is in the middle of playoff softball.
And oh, it's
become so intense, he skinned his knee and leg.
Yep.
Cochran also said he tore his blank.
Who did?
Who?
Justin. Now we're reading. Justin Kaufman is in the middle of playing softball, and it is playoff softball, and it has become so intense he skinned his knee and leg. Cochran also said he tore his blank. Justin tore his blank.
Mm.
Okay, Brandon, hang on for your answer. I will make sure that I get yours first.
Mm. Okay,
I've got him locked.
Okay.
Bing.
Everybody in? Everybody in?
Remember, when you lock in, it goes bing. Bing.
Brandon,
bing.
Where are you bing. From? Where are you from, Brandon?
Waterman, Illinois.
Sure. The southern part of Waterman.
Wow.
Everybody?
Where's Waterman? I don't even know where Waterman is.
It's out by DeKalb.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Are you coming into town for supplies?
Here we go.
You know, the signal actually gets out there. It's crazy.
There we go. Yes.
All right. So we locked.
Brandon, what is your answer?
ACL.
ACL. Oh, ACL. Very medical.
That's good. A good one.
Yeah, very medical. Very medical.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Okay, very good. Justin, let's start with yours.
I said tore his groin.
Tore his groin.
Also quite medical and unnecessary image in my head now for the rest of the day.
I just figured that, you know, you like to go blue.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a blue.
Yeah, that's me.
It's near the quad.
Me.
You actually did hurt your quad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Watch that.
Dave?
Gluteus maximus.
Gluteus maximus.
Nice. Tore his behind.
Okay. Wow. Yes, Mary Sandberg?
Sounds very painful.
Well, I went with beard. It's not really, that's not that great.
Maybe he needs a mitten.
What? Yeah.
Mary Vanderbilt?
I went with the rest of the lower body. Tore his toe.
Tore his toe.
Okay. All right, Steve.
What about Steve Grzanich?
Sorry, Steve.
Thank you for including me this time.
Yeah.
I said pants.
Tore his pants.
Oh, that's a good one.
Very logical. Guy. Steve, was your answer for the first one turkey?
It was donkey.
Oh, donkey. Yeah. Okay. I was going to go with sense of reality and proportion, but I went with self-esteem. His self-esteem.
I always have an idea ahead of time. Yeah, that was good.
Because we're cheating and giving Brandon one, we've got a tie.
Exactly.
Oh, congratulations. Brandon and Bill, you're both winners.
There you go.
You're both going to get Lou Malnati's pizza and app gift cards. Congratulations to both of you. You've been listening to Match Game.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
If you got a party coming up this fall, or maybe for the holidays, where you're inviting a lot of people from Europe over and you don't know how to pronounce their names, I've got a guy for you. John Weideman, the best there's ever been, doing the play-by-play for the Blackhawks and another big season coming up. How many years for the Hawks now for you?
This is my 13th season.
How about that? Lucky 13, baby.
Yeah.
Lucky 13. You know what this year? The regular season is a formality until we get the cup back. That's what this season is, John.
Your lips to God's ears, Steve.
Come on.
Man, I'll tell you. No truer words have ever been spoken.
All right, like nobody knows more about hockey than you. And I know you've paid attention to the kids that have come up. Are we going to see some new faces on this team?
I think we will. I think to start with, the fans coming down to the United Center are going to see three really exciting preseason games. I mean, you've got the Red Wings in town tonight. That original six rivalry is always fun to watch. You know, Ottawa, we saw them a couple nights ago up in Ottawa, and they were a fun team to watch. They're going to have a lot of new faces as well. That's on Thursday night. And then cap off the preseason, our buddy Artemi Panarin is going to be back to play for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that'll be exciting. And you mentioned new faces, Steve. I expect there to be at least three. And some of the kids that, for my money, have stood out so far in the preseason. I'll start with Luke Johnson, yep, who is a kid that played in Rockford last year and was just outstanding, and he's had a terrific training camp. I'd be shocked if he didn't make the team. Okay. There's a kid named Dominic Cahoon who played for the German Olympic team in the last Olympics and was a standout, and he's had a great training camp as well. And then there's a kid that's been around a little while, and he just seems to have veteran savvy, and he looks like he'll be a good fit on the blue line, and that's Brandon Davidson. I like what I've seen out of him so far. Keep in mind, I don't make the final decision.
Nope.
That's up to Q and the boys, but I like what I've seen of those guys.
And
so
Dave,
far.
As you know, because Blackhawk tickets are so hard to get throughout the year, they're not easy to get for these preseason games, but this is a great opportunity for you to see your Chicago Blackhawks if you feel like, well, I never get to see a regular season game. So ChicagoBlackhawks.com is an easy place to go and get your tickets, Dave.
And also see some young players who are trying to win jobs on this team. And how about Adam Boqvist, John? Mm-hmm. I mean, a chance to make it to the NHL at the age of 18?
Yeah, I think, Dave, I think we're going to see a lot of him in tonight's game against the Red Wings. He's a kid that if you look at him, he looks a little slight. He looks like, wow, he needs to maybe grow a little bit. And I think that's a little bit true, but he has skill and vision of the ice and great playmaking ability, and we saw defensive ability in Detroit. So I think that was the one thing that stood out with Joel Quenneville was there's a guy that plays for the Detroit Red Wings. His name is Andreas, and Steve, you talked about mentioning or being able to say tough names. His name is Andreas Athanasiou. Okay, Athanasiou.
He's your worst nightmare.
When I first saw that name a couple preseasons ago, I went, "Oh, I better go get some counsel on this one."
Right,
Andreas Athanasiou. He's one of the fastest guys in the National Hockey League. He scores a lot of goals off the rush and one on one. He tried to tool Adam Boqvist one-on-one, and Adam stepped up and made a perfect defensive play,
wow,
took the puck away, and started the rush the other way for the Blackhawks. Now, he did that in only his second preseason game in the NHL. So I think that made Joel Quenneville look at him and go, okay, let's take a longer look at this kid.
Sure.
Because the original plan was for him to go to London in the Ontario Hockey League, but he's going to be around now for another look.
It's a good problem to have, really, isn't it? When you got too many talented players. Hey, before we let you go, and I'm very serious about this, you know what a fan I am of what you and Troy do all the time here on 720 WGN.
Thank you.
But is there a special preseason routine that you go through of any kind? And I don't mean lifting weights. I mean, do you re-familiarize yourself with the guys in the game and then try to learn everybody else, or do you take it on a game-by-game basis?
I take it on a game-by-game basis because there's a lot of change in the preseason. You do have to educate yourself as to who the personnel are in the lineup, and you do have to do your best at familiarizing yourself with their names because things happen quickly, and you've got to be on top of it. I don't try to get too far ahead, but I do build up a base of information on everybody in camp. And, you know, as they're one by one, as they're sent on their way or reassigned in some way, you know, I go, okay, go just keep him in mind possibly for the future because, hey, if he goes to Rockford, you never know. He might be right back up here. But then whoever's left, I try and focus on that group and make, you know, the best I can out of the broadcast and talk about them as much as is possible because, you know, the preseason games, as they go down, it might be the last opportunity to talk about that particular player for that season. So we want to give him his due.
Great talking to you, buddy. I know you're going to have a great year, and I'll talk to you again soon. Say hi to Troy and have fun tonight.
I will. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Hi to everybody.
And what time's pregame tonight, Dave?
Actually, 7:30, and that will be on AM 1000.
Okay.
And, of course, on your WGN app and WGNradio.com.
A couple more White Sox games before we get full-on Blackhawks coverage.
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. It's news time in a moment on 720 WGN. Oh, well, you know what I forgot to mention? Steve's sitting in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom. He's got Rod Rosenstein on his mind, amongst others.
Lots of stuff that matters.
Rosenstein. Rosenstein. You say Rosenstein. I say Rosenstein. Rosenstein me. When we get back with the news in a second on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Back from New York City. Good morning, Dean, and welcome to Moron Entertainment.
I'm walking here. That's my go-to New York line.
It's very strong.
Hey,
very strong.
Hey, I'm walking here.
It's almost like you're channeling a guy from Chicago trying to do a New York accent.
I know. I am not mean enough. So yesterday we finished the interviews, talked to Hugh Jackman and J.K. Simmons and the cast of his new movie, The Front Runner.
I love J.K. Simmons.
They're awesome. He's awesome. This movie, it's quite special. We'll play a little clip from it, from the interview with Hugh Jackman in a minute. But so, you know, we finish, and I got to get to the airport. I got a plane to catch. And we're sitting in the Uber for literally like 45 minutes. Traffic is not moving.
New York is such a pain in the ass.
You know, what's going on? I say to the driver, what's going on? Then I find somebody who can translate for me for the driver so he can understand what I'm saying. And turns out, you know, this big thing is going on at the United Nations yesterday.
Yeah.
The president was in town.
Yeah.
In New York.
All the tunnels were backed up.
That was clogging up traffic.
Yeah.
All the delegates, you know, the ambassadors from around the world were all in town, extra high security. But what really was clogging up traffic yesterday is the Korean boy band BTS was speaking at the UN yesterday. I would pay $1,000 to any UN ambassador who knows who BTS is.
Including the Korean ambassador.
But they, very lovely, they spoke about unity and being, you know, to their fans, you know, young kids, you know, being yourself, be true to yourself. Very, very lovely speeches. But I was not being very unity filled, sitting in that freaking Uber for 45 minutes while I'm about to miss my
flight.
I did barely make my flight.
Hey, good morning, Dean.
That's John DeCosta.
Yeah, sorry about that,
Dean. The voice of John.
Yeah, I apologize. I just found, get this, if J.K. Rowling married J.K. Simmons, she'd be J.K. Simmons.
Wow. I had no idea.
Would she be J.K. Simmons or Mrs. J.K. Simmons?
Mrs. J.K. Simmons, actually, yes.
Well, these are kind of important things we have John come in for. We'll come back and hear that, Hugh Jackman, and also Celine Dion news, Mel Gibson news, Donald Glover news.
My favorite, Mel Gibson.
Bill Cosby might be going to jail today. Hey, I have in front of me, Dean, from Mental Floss, a website that you can spend hours on getting useless trivia and things in your brain.
I love useless things.
Yeah, Mental Floss, you'll love that. MentalFloss.com is actually a great website. The top 10 list of most likely, most popular Halloween costumes.
Oh.
Number 10, a cow. You know, cows are solid every year.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nothing more fun at a Halloween party than someone in a costume that has udders.
Number nine, and I got to say, I didn't see this coming, Frida Kahlo.
Really?
Yeah, Frida Kahlo, the one-eyebrowed famous artist from...
Mexican artist, yeah.
Yeah, Mexico.
Mexican.
Number eight, a cosmic fairy. Oh, we don't have to call names. What's that?
What?
A cosmic fairy. I don't know what a cosmic fairy is.
It's Cos, C-O-S, McFerry.
McFerry. It's an Irish.
Yeah.
Oh, I still don't get it.
Cult hero.
Number seven, an ABBA-inspired dancing queen. See what they did there? Number six, I don't know what this is. Edna Mode. E-D-N-A-M-O-D-E. What's Edna Mode?
Isn't that the one from Incredibles?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. The little lady with the...
Oh, John knows his cartoons or whatever that is.
And you have got to stop going to kids' movies alone. You're starting to get...
J.K. Rowling, get this.
Number five, a flamingo. Number four, a warrior from Wakanda. And not the Wakanda you know, Wakanda from the Black Panther.
I went as a flamingo one year. It's really hard to stand at a Halloween party on one leg.
Forever.
The whole night.
In their front lawn for days.
Yeah, right. You're trying to drink a drink and eat some chicken wings on balancing on one leg. It's hard.
Number three is any icon from the 90s. Depresses me that's nostalgia. Seems like 10 minutes ago.
Who would be an icon from the 90s?
I don't know.
Huey Lewis?
No, that would have been the 80s.
Oh.
Somebody from like Full House, like a character from Full House, I think.
Yeah. So the Full House character is number three. Riverdale character number two. The number one most likely most popular Halloween costume this year, Tanya Harding.
Huh.
Interesting. What, really?
Tom, mental floss. Don't yell at me.
Because of that movie that was out last year?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think Bennett, the producer of the business shows, he's going as a character from Riverdale.
He is.
Yeah. So that is it. That list is dead on.
Oh, those crazy kids.
I'm going as Twitter.
The bird,
entire like website. Yeah. No, the entire website. Just as Twitter. The entire social media site. All right. I'm glad I brought that up. Now.
That's great.
Thanks. You know, I always pick the A stuff.
This show is very entertaining and also educational at the same time.
You know what? You know, the last review I saw, which I really appreciated, it says Steve Cochran's the Ambien of morning radio. So I don't know what Ambien is, but I hear it's good.
That's what I'm going as. I'm going as Ambien.
You just go into the party, lay down, and take a nap?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to bore people to death.
It's actually a good costume.
Tonight, the Cubs hope to give the Pirates scurvy.
I just changed it a little bit. I hope you like that, Steve.
Yes, you did there? Yeah, with the scurvy? Like that? That's well, the Pirates
it was like Cubs. It says the Bucks sail into Wrigley, hands on deck. No,
scurvy.
It's a Pirates theme, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cubs want to give them scurvy. Cubs-Pirates Tuesday night.
Strike one, strike two. Arrgh.
Tonight at 7.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
You ever wonder why pirates are so angry? I mean, think about all that time they spend on the ship. No laundry.
No women.
I mean, it's going to get a little nasty. Well, nasty, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I don't blame pirates for being angry. What's happened to me in the last half hour?
Right. You're like Andy Rooney today.
Well, I don't know about that.
I wonder about pirates.
It's Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. All right, is Cosby going to jail?
We'll find out in a few hours. Court has just reconvened yesterday, day one yesterday of the Cosby sentencing hearing. So they will make the determination today. The lawyers on both sides yesterday came to an agreement that could reduce maximum sentencing for him to 3 years in prison. His attorneys say that he should be sent home on house arrest because of his age, because of his health, because he has no prior convictions. The prosecution wants
him. See, that's the funniest line, right? Yeah. It's not a traffic ticket. Hmm. There's like 75, 80 women who claim he drugged him and molested him.
I know, right?
Yeah. And that's why the prosecution wants a prison sentence here, saying that he has shown no remorse on this. So they're just convening in Pennsylvania right now in the courtroom. Cosby could speak on his own behalf today. He'll have an opportunity to do that. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Item number two, Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, got hurt doing what?
He was performing and possibly broke his foot. They're not 100% sure if it happened during a show in Dallas over the weekend, but he cut short a concert in Dallas over the weekend, left the stage and didn't come back. And he was seen wearing a leg brace and was also in a wheelchair. So they're not commenting on any of this, but TMZ is reporting that he may have had a pre-existing injury and aggravated it when he did the show over the weekend in Dallas. They're saying broken foot.
Celine Dion's done in Vegas?
This is the saddest news I've ever had to report, Steve, that Celine Dion will be ending her Las Vegas residency after 8 years.
Will her heart go on?
But her heart will go on. Okay. And she said, remember, she's French-Canadian, I definitely have mixed emotions about this final run. Las Vegas has become my home, and performing at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace has been a big part of my life for the past two decades.
I heard they offered her a raise and she was making $1 million a show. Could that be right?
Yeah, that's they did offer her a raise. She was making $1 million a show and she turned it down anyway.
I can't understand how anyone humanly possible could
would
do
go
that.
See her.
No. I mean, perform like that, perform 8 years and all the shows that she does as a singer. It's just really impressive.
She apparently she puts on a great show.
Oh man, I've heard.
I personally have never seen her. I'm just being an idiot, but
maybe she got tired of singing the Titanic song.
Maybe
she finally just went, I cannot hear this one more time.
I know I feel that way.
I'll bet you're some good banter in that show.
Tickets for her final shows.
Allow me to introduce the band.
Yeah. Tickets for my final shows will go on sale starting next Tuesday.
And on Piccolo, Pepe Le Pew.
Remember Pepe Le Pew? What a good actor he was.
She has performed 1,089 shows at the Coliseum in Vegas to 4.5 million fans.
Now listen, I don't want to drop. I don't want to drop a lot of French on you here, but that's a crap load of money.
Do you think, Dean, it has anything to do with that ear problem she was having? You know, she was having. They said a few months ago that she's having.
She's
a hearing.
Recovering. Yeah, she was. Well, she canceled 3 weeks of shows
it's
last March.
An interesting
March.
Theory.
She
can't hear. You can't sing as well.
What?
Or she did 1,089 shows.
They're not. She's not saying that it has anything to do with surgery, but she was out for 3 weeks because of that. She had ear surgery. I don't know. I mean, she says that occasionally she'll still perform there, but the residency, as we know it, will be ending in June, and tickets for the final shows are going to go on sale next Tuesday.
Ooh, we can start. We can start wondering who's next.
Morning show field trip.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Hugh Jackman and you last night. Are we good? We got the clip for this? Let's roll a little Hugh Jackman. Listen.
Yep.
Well, you need
some,
a setup?
Questions from viewers. Bridget, when are we going to get to see you again singing and dancing?
Thank you. I'm by the way, every day, Bridget, I sing and dance in my life. So I'm
that we
ready.
Can see you singing.
I am
not
ready.
In your bathroom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So one of the great things for me with the success of Greatest Showman was my hope was that I'd be able to do movie musicals for the rest of my life. That is my hope. And I am actively always looking to do them on stage. There will be some version of Greatest Showman in a live format at some point. And watch this space. I'm developing something else, Bridget. Watch this space. I can't quite tell you just yet.
So that's interesting. And making a little news there. That
watch this space.
Greatest Showman, the musical, apparently is definitely going to happen. Maybe he'll be in it. But it sure sounds like he's going to be back on stage doing a musical again.
And of your delightful collection of celebrities, you'd rank him right up there, wouldn't you?
He is in my top five of delightful celebrities to sit down and talk to. Very warm, very friendly. Very nice. I've asked him to do ridiculously stupid things during interviews, and he's
always up for it.
Always such a good sport.
Hmm. All right. On the other end of the delightful scale is Mel Gibson. Though you've said over the years
we're best friends now.
You've rehabbed your relationship.
Yeah. Well, he didn't punch me after I interviewed him after our famous a-hole episode, which he called me an a-hole.
Went viral in like 30 seconds.
A little ridiculous. But he was very nice when we sat down. You know, he had that movie out a couple of years ago called Hacksaw Ridge, which was very good. Mm-hmm. He directed it.
Yeah, it was great.
He was very, very good. He's an outstanding director.
He's a great actor.
He is a fantastic actor. I've said that throughout. He is going to be writing and directing a remake of The Wild Bunch. Do you remember that movie, The
sure.
Western?
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
With, Ernest
William
Borgnine,
Holden.
William Holden, right. So he is going to be remaking that. I haven't heard from him today, but I'm sure he's going to call me and ask me, you know, to be part of it, to what do I think of his decision, because that's how close we are now.
I understand that. And
he'll call me and it'll go like this. Dean, what do you think? Oddly, he has a French accent.
It's very strange.
I don't know how that happened. It's like Madonna. Where'd that come from?
Yes, I think the breakthrough for you two is when he found out you weren't a Jew. I think that really helped.
Oh, man.
I think that was one of the keys.
Maybe. It's possible.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 8:45, so Pete and Pete Zimmerman and Sandberg were sitting around yesterday and saying, we need to class this joint up. Krista Franklin's here, a well-respected Chicago artist and poet, who she just told us her artwork travels more than she does. It's a very impressive list of where your art installations have traveled. And you should go to some of these places, Krista. I'm going to be honest with you. You should probably travel with your art occasionally. For instance, the Columbia Museum of Art, the Cornell Fine Arts Museum, the National Museum of Mexican Art, and the Chicago Cultural Center, amongst just a few, and the Studio Museum in Harlem, which some of you may have seen on Empire. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How did you get into this business?
Being a strange, creative child is how I got into this business.
Must really. Have had parental support, though, right?
You know, not a lot, actually. My family are sports fans, so they have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah, they're still very confused.
Where'd the encouragement come from?
Huh?
Did you have a mentor?
You know, I didn't. I was very kind of self-motivated.
Is that right?
And I was just a big book geek. You know, I love the library. I love to be reading. I love movies. So a lot of my imagination was just fueled by my intake.
Is there a solitude necessary, an ability to be alone, to be alone, to be good at what you do?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like people? Do you like people or just some people?
I do like people. Sometimes.
I'm not that fond of people.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people.
Yeah. Talk about what your latest is.
My latest right now is I have an exhibition that's getting ready to open at the Poetry Foundation this Friday called To Take Root Among the Stars. And I'm very excited about that.
So well, congratulations.
Thank you.
How would you describe it, though, Justin?
It's a I call it a speculative mapping project. So it's primarily paper. You know, it's handmade paper, and it's an archival project that I started when I was flipping through Ebony magazines, which I frequently do because I'm a collage artist. I began to find these very beautiful articles that were referencing things that I associated with Afrofuturism or Afro-surrealism. So it could be an article. There was one particular article that was about a black church that had a space launch program. And I was like, oh, wow, there was a black church in the 50s, 60s that wanted to do a space program? Like, how amazing. So I tore it out.
Yeah.
And that kind of was the beginning of me kind of archiving what I saw as like...
So you use Ebony and Jet magazine pieces.
Yes, mainly Ebony and Jet.
You have had... A lot of your work surrounds identity, which is tremendous, and Sun Ra comes up as an inspiration. We're talking about inspiration, but another artist, a great musician of his time, who really dealt with the outer worlds and space travel. He says he's from Saturn, the whole bit, but there's something in that and what Sun Ra brought to American pop culture that you're exploring.
Yes, a lot of that. I mean, Sun Ra to me was more interesting as a myth maker. You know, the fact that he kind of created his own identity, that he was very much like, I'm from Saturn, this is my whole story, right? This is the backstory. So I'm very fascinated with him and the way that he invented himself.
Right.
You know, the idea of self-invention and the idea of using magical worlds or outer worlds, you know, to kind of articulate who you are.
As a poet and an artist, Do you see that the same way, that you have the opportunity because of your ability to cross over and be a multi-disciplinary artist to create your own identity, to not be a poet, to not be an artist, to be something else?
Constantly jumping fences. Yeah. Constantly jumping fences and constantly myth-making and reinventing myself.
How do you get over the hump where you go from being a talented artist to an artist who can create a living for yourself? Because, as you know, 99.9% of folks... And a lot of them are incredibly talented, are never going to make a living doing it.
Yes, I think you have to have a little bit of determination. I mean, you have to have a lot of determination, actually. You know, you have to really believe in yourself, and you have to believe in the work that you're doing. You know, for me, it's still a challenge, you know what I mean, to figure out how to pay bills off of this work that I do. But
people are traveling your art all over the country. Yeah. They better be paying you.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm going to get you a new agent.
Sometimes.
So this exhibit that's going to be opening, start out thinking, I need to make a collection of work that goes around this theme, or did you just find you were doing pieces and then thought, oh, this all goes together, this should be a collection? Like, how does that get decided?
Yeah, it was definitely intentional. You know, it was me kind of deciding, oh, let's see if I can kind of begin to track, right, over history, over a long period of time, what we now have begun to associate as Afrofuturist or Afro-surrealist, right? So kind of tracing this long lineage of ideas that led to this one thing. So it was definitely an intentional kind of curation, you know, on my part, and then a intentional making on my part.
One of the things that I think makes you so interesting is the fact that you're self-described as, you know, a weird little kid.
Yeah.
What do you say to parents and grandparents who are concerned about their own weird little kids in their lives?
Don't be concerned. I mean, I feel like, you know, we kind of come here, children too, you know, come here with their own, like, destiny, I think, you know, mm-hmm. already inside of them. It's embedded. So your best bet is to just line up with it. You know
encourage
what I mean?
The
but
weirdness.
Don't fight it. Just line up with it.
Celebrate
you know?
The quirks.
Yeah, celebrate it. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it brings you so much joy. You know, mm-hmm. I think that my parents were probably very surprised by me as a kid, just my whole my persona, what I was interested in. I think that a lot of times they were entertained. So it's like being
entertained. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I have one sister, but she's adopted.
Okay, so but grew up in the same house.
Yes, well, she's a lot younger than me, so she came in after I was like fully grown out of that.
What did she do?
She is a social worker. She followed in my mother's footsteps.
Well, you're both helping in different ways.
Yes.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up is because so often you hear, especially in families with two kids, mm-hmm. they grew up in the same house and they're completely different people.
Right. Yes, we're very different. Right. Yeah. Very different in a lot of ways. She's really my mother's child. You know, in a really traditional
sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Justin's son, Miles, is how old?
He's 11 years old.
And he seems very artistic and creative to me.
Yeah, he is. And he was actually at the Poetry Center introducing, he got to read at the Poetry Center not
how about
long
that?
Ago, which is really, really impressive.
That's fantastic.
It was awesome. For you, Christy, you come from a scene right now in Chicago, a poetry scene that is just international.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Koble and Young Chicago Authors mm-hmm. and all the authors and the poets that come. I can name everybody who's been on this program from Nate Marshall to Eve Ewing to No Name.
I know all of them.
And Chance the Rapper. Down the line, there seems to be a movement in this country to really celebrate poetry, and it starts here in Chicago.
Yeah.
What is it about this town that brings such art out?
I mean, I think it's a worker town. You know, it's a laborer town. So, you know, I think part of it is that there are lots of different stories as well. There's lots of different narratives to be told in this city. And it has a strong literary history. You know, this city has a very strong artistic and literary history that goes well beyond my generation. You know what I mean? Even my parents' generation. So, yeah, I think that this is a city that has a unique stories to be told. And I think that the writers here have incredible ways of telling those stories and reinventing those stories and connecting the history with the present moment, you know?
I remember as a kid in elementary school, we had a poetry section. And I grew up in a very rural area in upstate New York, but poetry was encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still do that in school?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, now poets are kind of brought into the schools, you know, especially here, you know, poets are kind of brought directly into the schools. And I think even with the tradition of like Gwendolyn Brooks, you know, a lot of people have these great memories, these very fine memories of her coming into their school, right? And reading her poetry to them when they were like elementary school students. So, yeah, I think that it does happen, you know, but I think it should be happening more.
Can anybody be a poet?
Yeah, I think anybody can be a poet. Absolutely.
Well, John and I have written a couple. You want to hear them?
I would love to hear
you. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Oh, do you have a question first?
I do have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm a stand-up comedian, so my process is I'm always writing something down on a little piece of paper, whatever. Similar to you?
Oh,
is that what you're doing?
Time.
Okay.
All the time. Scribbling.
Okay. Yeah, well, do you have a system or you carry around scraps of paper?
I have journals. Million journals. Million. Okay. Million.
All right. Will you judge our poetry when we come back?
Possibly.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got a couple of minutes left here, but before I'm going to touch up our last poem, John has some poems as well. Justin?
Krista Franklin in studio, a Chicago poet. She's got her new exhibit, To Take Root Among the Stars, which is at the Poetry Foundation starting on September 28th, running through December. She's also got a book coming out, Under the Knife, which will be published later this fall. We were talking in the break just about this burgeoning movement, poetry movement in the city of Chicago. And we talked about why the city of Chicago. But Kevin Koble wrote in Medium about Young Chicago Authors, who's writing to the nation, people about, we're in a time of radical unlistening. And he really pointed out that a lot of young people are trying to take control of their own narrative, that far too long we've had people telling, this is what it is, this is what it is, this is what it is, and you deal with it. And kids haven't had a chance to tell their own stories. Because of Louder Than a Bomb, because of Chicago's poetry movement, you're seeing a huge change.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, your microphone's off. Go.
Yes, a huge change, I think. But to me, I would kind of say a deepening listening. You know what I mean? A deepening listening, because what they're doing is they're bringing these nuances of stories. Why our lives are very complicated. The human experience is very complicated, you know? And so just nice to hear that there's more stories being told, not necessarily to push down old stories or old narratives, but to show all of the nuances in between, all the stories that haven't been told because of this dominant narrative that's happened, right? So it's just nice to see this new influx of voices that are happening.
And Louder Than a Bomb is fantastic.
Amazing.
God bless everybody involved with putting it together and the encouragement they do. All right, real quickly here. Now, we have some poems, and I want you to give it to us straight, okay? You tell us how we're doing. Because they can be short poems, right? And it doesn't have to rhyme all the time.
No, okay. You don't have to rhyme at all.
See, Jenny, get this. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Amazon with another package.
Really?
That's lovely. Lovely job. So,
a lot of snapping. John?
A lot of emotion.
Fire. Light the wood hot. Crystal opaque love in a peppermint prism. Depression, frustration, sticky sap from a tree on my paper. The world is closed. Come back Thursday.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, I like Steve's. I'm going to go out on a limb, John. It's just too wordy.
I want
the alliteration that you were using there.
Thank you.
And the musicality of that piece. It's very lovely.
I show off.
Thank you.
This is a little louder than a bomb, but it's a fizzled bomb. Try this one. A bird flies free. Soaring, happy, high. Where will he go? How long? How far? All we know for sure is he'll poop on my car.
Oh, wow. See what Steve did there,
John. It's a
little
limerick.
But it paid off at the end. My point is, it paid off.
Yeah.
You got one more?
My love, like a rose, full of beauty, always thorny. My stem is weak, can't petal my wares.
Wow.
Again. I don't know. It just seems.
I got birds pooping on my cars, and you're over here working on the art.
I'm not buying John's stuff. I feel like it's being lifted from someone else or something.
It's in my book. I just wrote it.
I like it, John. I'm just joking.
Krista Franklin and John will be leaving the studio together now to work on your first joint project.
Let's go.
PoetryFoundation.org. You can find Krista, KRISTA Franklin, all over the internet, and you should. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're back with the news next, and President Trump speaks at 9:15. And we will take at least part of that, if not all of it. And, Adam Hoge. Quick Hand of Bears coming up, too. John has changed so much since Krista Franklin endorsed
John
his poetry.
John is such a kind soul. Those are really great poetry.
I thought they were great. They were the best.
The pooping on the car stuff, Steve.
What about
great,
it's easy to smile when life's worthwhile and all's bright and chipper, but the man truly worthwhile is a man who can smile when he catches himself in his zipper? I mean, that's quality material.
That's stuff. That's material, all right.
Bradford getting away from Mack, and the pass is going to be wrestled, and was it picked off? It may be by the Bears. Sherrick McManus, and the Bears get it back. Sherrick McManus with the second interception of the game by the Chicago Bears.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Adam Hoge is with us. The good news for you, Adam Hoge, is we won't have time to play Stump Hoge today because of Donald Trump.
Man. That's the first time I've been really happy about something with Donald Trump.
There you go. But we do have time to talk about the Bears. Now, I played football at the highest level of a small upstate New York school. So I think I know what I'm talking about here. After the Bears Sunday game, the defense gets snacks. The offense runs laps. Am I right?
Yeah.
Juice boxes for Khalil Mack and all his friends. The offense running extra laps.
I think Khalil Mack can get all the juice boxes in the world.
I think that might. He was at Whole Foods yesterday in Deerfield. A friend of mine ran into him and took a picture, and he might have been getting those juice boxes.
There you go.
Big cart of juice boxes.
There you go. Yeah. We can't have this kind of imbalance in 2018 in the NFL. What are they doing to fix it?
Well, they got to figure out their quarterback situation. I mean, I felt like after watching that game, the Bears are legitimately a quarterback away from being a playoff contender. They look like they have all the pieces, except their quarterback needs to play better. Now, I didn't write that to suggest anything like they need to go find a new quarterback. They need the current quarterback they have that they drafted number two overall to start developing a lot quicker than he is right now. Now, I think we lose sight of the fact that he's still very young. I think you have to throw out all of last season because of the situation he was in, and this is really just his third game in this new system under Matt Nagy, but it's still a little bit concerning that we're not seeing more progress through these first three games.
Now, beyond some turnovers and you know, obviously him dropping the ball as he's starting to scramble and fumbling the ball, looking back at that game, it is on the road. The Arizona Cardinals are a blitz-happy team. There are a lot of things to say that Mitch Trubisky might have had a bad game, but at the same time, a pretty great way to come back and win that game.
Yeah, and I'll go back to what I predicted before the game. I predicted a 17-12 score, and I said, look, I think Mitch Trubisky's breakout game is going to happen at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen this week against the Cardinals because, yeah, they're not that great of a team, but the Cardinals' defense is still pretty decent. And it was a short week, and you're going on the road. There were a lot of factors. It just didn't feel like it was going to be a big blowout for the Bears. At least that was my opinion going into it. Now, did I like the fact that he kept missing guys downfield, that he fumbled the ball, that he couldn't, you know, throw the ball over?
Of course you did.
Defender?
No, of course you didn't.
No. So, there's still things that I thought the progress and this offense, let me say it like that. The offense I thought would be better at this point through 3 weeks, and it's not. But the Bears are 2-1, and they look to be like a decent team that's going to compete every week.
But Dave, that's the point, right? You got to take advantage of the fact that you're 2-1 with this kind of problem.
Yeah, and you exactly. I mean, the fact you've been able to win these two games, and look, I mean, I know a lot of people feel the Bears should be 3-0. You can't go back and change that. But the level of panic regarding the quarterback position, I think, is just a function of the history of the Bears at that position. And I don't, you know, in a way, that's almost a little unfair to Mitch Trubisky. He doesn't have anything to do with the guys who've played there before him. That said, he's number two pick in the draft. And I agree, Adam. I don't think there's any reluctance on Trubisky's part to want to get better. He's not out there. He's not fumbling the ball, and he's not out there purposely overthrowing guys, but there is a certain progression you have to go through to get better in this league, and the juxtaposition of Trubisky against Patrick Mahomes is kind of unfair.
Jarring, though.
It is jarring how much better Mahomes is.
Mahomes
is having a season for the ages.
Deshaun Watson's coming back down to earth.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't... Guys don't have starts to their careers like that.
But also, Mahomes, even though he only made one start last year and Trubisky made 12, he got drafted in such a better situation. He had Andy Reid and Matt Nagy last year, and he had Alex Smith starting ahead of him. Trubisky got thrown to the wolves with John Fox, Dow Loggins, and Mike Glennon. It was a completely different situation.
So you're in Dave's camp. You're in the don't worry, be happy, this is going to get better because he's talented.
No, I mean, I didn't say that either.
I believe Mr. Trubisky.
That's my camp.
No, I'm saying that it's way too soon for people to be as panicky as
that. Agreed.
I'm slightly worried. And this is coming from a guy that was a big fan of Trubisky when they drafted him. I'm slightly worried, but I'm also of the camp that says we got to let this thing play out for the whole year. Yeah. And if anything, it's great that he has this defense to protect him and to buy more time. Yeah, absolutely.
Adam, what was the question that you asked Nagy yesterday where he said, well, you're right. We got to work on that.
Got from John Fox, by the way.
Yeah, he agreed with Adam. Adam said, do you remember what you asked?
Yeah, I think it was the fade pass to Allen Robinson down in the end zone that he just completely overthrew him. And if you freeze the TV screen, you could see that there was four guys at the top of the screen for the Bears and only three defenders for the Cardinals. And it was like, well, should he have looked at the top, you know, to his right and saw that the Bears had four versus three? So I asked Matt Nagy about that, and he's still not going to break down every single play for us, but he gives us a little bit more, obviously, than John Fox did, and he admitted, yeah, there were options on that play, and even though Allen Robinson had one-on-one coverage, four versus three on the other side would have been a good idea to go that way. So that's part of the concern with Mitch Trubisky is he just doesn't seem to be seeing the whole field properly.
What are you writing about?
Well, I just got done writing what I told you that I think the Bears.
Hey, easy! I'm trying to plug your blog.
Oh, wow!
A little snippy. I know you got to go watch that offense, but come on.
Yeah. Well, that's partly what I have to do is watch. Still go back and watch the coach's tape and then write about what I saw. But no, it'll be more of the same. I think that you got an interesting game this week against the Bucs, which are a good team. You might end up seeing two quarterbacks again this week if you're the Bears defense. But a winnable opportunity against the Bucks. So that'll be the story this week. You're going into the bye. You have a chance to go 3-1 into the bye, which I'm not sure many Bears fans thought was possible, especially after blowing a 20-0 lead to the Packers. So all in all, this is a pretty good situation for your Chicago.
And real quick, you can't replace Ryan Fitzpatrick now, can you? Jameis Winston
didn't play that great last night.
No,
he's thrown for 400 yards in three straight games?
Four straight games. No, yeah,
four
three.
Straight games.
Yeah, three.
That's an NFL record. Nobody's ever done it.
No, it hasn't. But if he comes out and struggles in the first half against this Khalil Mack Bears defense, then maybe you go to the bullpen. That's why I say I think Fitzpatrick starts, but you need to be prepared if you're the Bears to also see Jameis Winston.
Real quick, Roquan Smith had much more playing time. How do we like what we saw? I mean, is he progressing at the level you'd like to see from a first-round draft pick?
Little quiet through the first two games, but there were a couple. Like, there was one short pass that he just diagnosed. You could see his eyes, and he just ran straight at the guy full speed and crushed him for a 2-yard loss. That's kind of the stuff I like to see. And those early passes where it looked like the Cardinals were picking on the linebackers as they went up 14-0 in that game, it looked like that was on Danny Trevathan, not Roquan Smith. So he's been good through two games.
All right. It's Adam Hogue, and you should read his blog because it's really good. And he asks the questions that you don't have to because he's over there at Hellasol. Where do we find the blog?
WGNRadio.com/Bears. And now, Steve, I actually get answers. It's not just that I ask the questions.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. You and John Fox ever get together at this point, or is that over?
He hasn't returned my phone calls.
Strange.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
Ready. Donald Trump's at the United Nations, and when he's ready to speak, we'll go to him. Coming up here in a matter of moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Standing by for President Trump. By the way, I had a situation the other day. I don't know, as a first-time grandparent, maybe you veteran grandparents could help me with this, but I play a lot of golf. I never talk about it, I know, but I do. And Abigail, my granddaughter, and again, I'm sure your grandchildren are great, but come on. She's 2.5 and almost 2 3/4. She likes to, as she says, play golf balls. So I was in the pro shop, and I saw this tiny little pink putter. And I said, well, I got to get this. And Abigail was out this weekend, so we took her to the golf course, and she and I putted.
That's great.
But here's the question. You know, should I have allowed Ross, her dad, to buy her first golf club?
Nah.
Golf doesn't matter to him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey.
I mean, golf is your thing.
Yeah, it seems
thing,
like a
so,
pops thing. Right?
Yeah, if it's your thing. If you bought, Ross is really into church and things, if you bought her
a church,
church-related, maybe right. You'd be overstepping.
If my dad bought Miles a wrench, I'd be like, nah, that's your thing.
Right.
I'd be like, you're not taking away from me.
Well, Ross hasn't complained about it at all. I just felt like maybe I was overstepping my grandparent bounds.
It wasn't the whole set, just a little putter, right?
Oh, so if it's a whole set, it's a different scorecard?
It could have been a different story then.
Now, is it the same for you, Grandma?
No, I just go for it.
Just buy whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can sell it on eBay if they don't like it.
Grandpa, you can do whatever you want.
We had a great time, and she outputted me clearly, and I owed her $5 when we were done.
My favorite part is when you sent me a picture of it, and Abigail's putter has a putter cover on it, and I thought, that's so cute that they put a cover on little kids' clubs. And he said, no, that she made Steve give him hers.
I want that. And so she got my putter cover.
And you love your grandchild when you're like, sure, you would never hand over a cover to your club to any other person that asked for it except for Abigail.
I said it to a couple people. Thank God she didn't ask for my driver because I'm hitting the hell out of that.
You got to go the whole nine here. I think you got to get the khaki shorts for her. You got to get the visor.
Well, I mean,
she
a good
would wear
time.
A skirt.
A good time for women on the golf course.
They go with the shorts, don't they?
And, 2.5, she's certainly a woman. No, a good time for girls on the golf course is, dressing up and stuff that guys don't wear because guys are a golf shirt. You're done. In other words, what I wear to work every day.
Right.
I think she's going to be my golf buddy for at least few years.
Really?
Yeah.
Until you get frustrated that she doesn't care that much. That's what's going to happen. It's your turn to putt. She'll be like, I'm done.
No, Ross. I never got frustrated with Ross when Ross decided it wasn't his thing.
Oh, that's not true.
Heartbroken. No.
Heartbroken, yeah. I think Abigail's going to like golf.
Yeah. No, I wasn't frustrated with Ross. Yeah. I mean, kids do what you do.
Have you ever taken a miniature golfing?
Oh, there you go. What a game. What a concept.
Spoken by the guy who supports 16-inch softball. I've ever taken her miniature golf.
Just don't take her with Mary.
You have a thing against miniature golf?
Don't take her with Mary, though.
Yeah.
Because she won't be able to keep up.
Were you there that day?
Yeah, when she ran all over the... I was not, no, but she ran all over the... Yes.
Sandberg had places to go. She was six holes ahead of us.
You guys got there an hour late. And
he got lost in the Grand Park garage.
It was 120 degrees.
Right.
There were no trees. And
you have no patience.
One of the complaints about golf is the pace of play.
You have no patience?
I don't have any patience.
There we go.
Because Andre and Dave, the two most competitive people we know, were like really trying to get it in, and it's miniature golf, and it was really taking a long time.
There was a point where I had to get the guy from the little tiny hut with the colorful balls and the putters to walkie-talkie Mary to see where she was. That's how far ahead she was. Yeah. It's 9:31. Headlines in a moment, unless President Trump starts speaking.
We have an update on that, by the way, Steve.
All right, what do you got?
Let me tell you real quick. We're being told at the United Nations now, Trump arrived late, and so they had to let Ecuador go ahead of him.
All right, who's ready? Ecuador.
We'll go.
You're up.
So, I have no idea when the president's going to go, because Ecuador's speaking now, and it doesn't look like they're anywhere near wrapping up.
If I'm Ecuador, I'm going as long as I damn well please. I'm not cutting
it. It kind of looks like he is.
It's Donald Trump, the president, live at the United Nations, and I have no idea how much longer that'll go on, but I'm pretty sure on any of your internets you'll be able to find the entire speech if you choose to listen back to it. In the meantime, what we heard so far was a lot of self slapping on the back about how well he's
doing. Seems pretty aggressive in talking to the United Nations about China and Iran. So it'll be interesting to see what the pushback would be from the council and from those countries.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a bunch of factual errors and misstatements in there already, including the fact that the Iranians, who, by the way, I'm no fan of, the Iranian leadership has been horrific in too many ways. But when he talks about the money the Iranians are spending, when we did the nuclear deal with Iran, that's their money that they got back that had been frozen here.
Yeah, that is a big misconception in this whole thing, that we somehow paid
them. We didn't write them a check.
Right.
And in addition to that, the great concern is, why would anybody else do a treaty with us about anything? If you see why this treaty with, or how he handled this treaty with Iran.
I thought it was very interesting to hear him spelling out how much money is involved in the tariffs and the continuing trade war with China, $250 billion worth of tariffs. Just an interesting way to go about bragging about this trade situation, that it's almost a boasting moment for the president.
Have you ever heard him open his mouth and not boast?
to talk about how much money, how much tariffs we've put on Chinese goods.
Steve Bertrand standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Before we get to that, Bill and Wendy are here. And listen, it's your show. If you guys want to jump back in, with the Donald.
Yes, just, the option's open.
I don't know. Wendy seems quiet.
I don't.
She's perplexed.
I've got nothing.
Her perplexed look.
What are you guys doing on the show?
Other than
Donald Trump.
We're just perplexed.
You're doing perplexed?
Yeah, a lot of perplexed.
Okay. Perplexed?
Perplexed.
All right, so you'll be heckling each other.
Yeah.
All right.
Grammatical errors.
Yes, and you'll go over whatever you need to go over.
Mostly, yeah.
In a timely manner, and then you'll go home.
And there's also a story about a baseball glove.
It's the forward promote.
Yeah.
It's you guys really nail it every
time. Is it a mitt or a glove?
Well, it can be. It's both.
Because
really.
Ed Farmer corrected me.
Yeah, he was. You made him angry.
What did he say?
He said, unless you're a catcher,
or first baseman.
Yeah, which is it?
They have mitts. The other seven have gloves.
Whatever.
You made Ed Farmer angry.
Yeah,
Wendy's.
That's what I do.
Before we go, just the textures.
He's Ed Farmer. Dun 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 dun.
Is he a superhero? Textures keep it coming. A lot of negative texts about President Trump, but there is this one, and I want to be fair. If Obama had given the exact same speech, if he could have, you'd be slurping up the toilet water. A couple of mistakes there. One, I don't drink toilet water. And secondarily, I was hard on the President Obama every time he deserved it. Other than that, great text. Keep it coming at 312-981-7200. And thank you for listening. We got to go. It's time for you to introduce this.